The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Enfield and the government are suddenly getting very, very nervous. Little more than a week after there was confidence that we were on the verge of a breakthrough, that we had suppressed COVID-19 in the community, we're now talking about not easing all of the restrictions that remain to be eased on the 22nd of October. A lot of concern about rising numbers of new cases, but particularly the numbers who are having to go to hospital and those who are ending up in intensive care. It led Professor Philip Nolan, as a member of Enfield yesterday, to say that leaving home with COVID-19 or flu-like symptoms should become as socially unacceptable as drink driving. We're joined by Liam Herrick, Executive Director of the Irish Council for Civil Liberties. I did bring this up with some guests earlier in the programme, but what's your view on that? Because I'd imagine there are a lot of people who are leaving home because they have to get to work or they have to get to somewhere. They may feel they've been locked away for 18 months or whatever. And it could be that these symptoms are the same symptoms they get because of their allergies or their asthma or because they actually have the flu rather than COVID.
Exactly, Matt. I was listening to your earlier conversation and the comments Sinead O'Carroll made, and I agree very much with what Sinead was saying. I think it was unfortunate. And in fairness, look, I think most of the messaging coming from NPHET and the HSE about the vaccination programme has been very positive and very good. But for anybody with young children, for example, you know, coughs, colds, sneezes are a part of daily life. A lot of people live with allergies, particularly in the climate that we live in. You know, somebody who decides to drink and drive is making a deliberate decision to do something. Somebody who might have a cough or a cold and they're not sure exactly what it means is in a very different situation. I think it's unfortunate. And I think over the last week, we, the Irish Council for Civil Liberties, have been concerned about this increasing, I think, demonisation of people that's been creeping in. And you can go back, Matt, I think, to some of the coverage around the Callum Robinson case in recent weeks as well. Maliki Clerken had an excellent piece where he said that, you know, none of us ever knows exactly what the health circumstances of another person are. There are people out there that have been advised not to take the vaccine who may have had an adverse reaction, who might just be nervous or anxious, people generally. You know, we've done such a good job here of actually encouraging people on a voluntary basis to take the vaccine. We've had better results than any other country in the world, including countries that made vaccination mandatory. And against the back of all of that, I think it'd be very regrettable now if we started going down a divisive road of trying to blame what is a very complex situation on people who may have various reasons themselves. I think encouraging people has worked so far, and I think we should stick with that.
And you're not a person with a medical background to answer these questions, so we maybe just raise the point, though, that Enfield has gone against the idea of antigen testing, which a lot of these people who might be worried at home whether they actually have or haven't got COVID could perhaps rely on an antigen test as a guide or an assistance in a case. And maybe is it up to Enfield as well to sort of perhaps emphasise that the vaccination does not make you immune from COVID. As I've said myself, I'm doubly vaccinated. I came down with COVID. But that what it does is that it actually helps reduce the seriousness of the illness that you get from it.
Yeah, and I think that message is getting out there to people. But when we look then at the restrictions that the government might have to introduce now, and look, from the Irish Council for Civil Liberties perspective, we've been talking about this so much over the last year and a half, Matt. We have accepted that if there's a public health crisis at different stages, some restrictions might be necessary. But which restrictions the government chooses are important. I mean, you know, requiring people to wear masks on public transport or in shops doesn't affect your civil liberties or human rights in a very significant way. But discriminating against people on the basis of whether they're vaccinated or not is a more invasive step. And the question of testing is relevant here because lots of other European countries that have vaccine passport systems also allow negative tests, and often the tests are provided free. So you don't have the discrimination that we've had here. Now, if the government is saying at this point in time that vaccine passports are going to have to be retained for longer, I think they really have to come out and demonstrate to the public what exactly is the passport system achieving now that can't be achieved elsewhere? Because we know that there's effectively no enforcement or oversight of the vaccine passport system, and we have 90% of the adults currently vaccinated. We were told it was only a short-term measure to get to that critical mass of vaccination. So if the government wants to make a case that this is necessary, I think everybody would listen with interest to it. But we haven't seen that evidence put forward about, you know, when you have 90% of the public already vaccinated, what additional level of protection is given by restricting access to pubs and restaurants in this way?
We had Professor Liam Fanning on with us last night. He's Professor of Immunovirology at UCC. And I asked him in relation to using the vaccine certs at things like sports events. If, for example, at the moment, the other night when Ireland played Qatar at the Aviva Stadium, 25,000 people allowed in. I think the new capacity would be 38,000. But from the 22nd of October is expected fully open for the match of Portugal in November for the Irish rugby team playing against New Zealand. But if it was to be fully opened, I asked him, should it be only for the vaccinated? And he said, absolutely yes. Well, what would you think about if certainly events like matches and concerts and things like that for the future became available only to the vaccinated?
Well, I think this is what a lot of people are concerned about. It's something that was introduced in July as a short-term measure for 6 weeks, really to allow pubs and restaurants to open earlier than they might otherwise have had to open, would become embedded and become a long-term measure. And that's exactly what I suppose the sceptics and the sceptics out there have always been trying to argue would be the case. See, the government has shown its good faith to the public so much over the last few months. It ended mandatory hotel quarantine as soon as it felt it could. It's ended all the restrictions on movement as soon as it could. And we're left with the vaccine passport system, which I think is unproven in terms of what benefits it's actually delivering. So I was at the Aviva during the week, Matt. It was obviously it's an outdoor event. There might be questions about managing crowd flows, but there was a lot of security staff doing that. I felt safe and comfortable there, and I don't know it would be that different if it was 35,000 over 25,000. I think there's measures you can take. I think the idea of trying to have a vaccine pass system would be very difficult to manage, and also I think would be very undesirable from a social perspective at this stage. So unless it's absolutely necessary, and we're not seeing that evidence produced, I don't think it's the road we should go down.
Liam Herrick, Executive Director of the Irish Council of Civil Liberties, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM. Listener that says, comparisons to drink driving are a bit extreme, but you should take a COVID test if you have cold or flu symptoms. You should also get sick pay while you're off work waiting for the result. I suppose the issue with that, listener, is that we're not being encouraged to use antigen testing at home if we have cold or flu-like symptoms. And also the issue with sick pay. Yes, people should get sick pay, but are all employers going to pay the sick pay? Are they going to be in a position, if you ring in, yes, an employer shouldn't want somebody coming into work who could be spreading COVID to either fellow employees or to customers. But if you're in a situation whereby the business is running out of money, isn't getting the state supports anymore, will it want to pay sick pay if that person can't work from home? And there may be circumstances as well in which people say they're not feeling well, but they're really taking a duvet day. It is possible. It's human nature, after all. 0874 100 102 gives you the last word by text or by WhatsApp. Deck in Galway says, at my work, if we have any single symptom of the Delta variant, we have to stay off and get tested and not return until we've had 48 hours of no symptoms. And as for people who refuse to get the vaccine, kept them separated. That's their choice. Feck their civil liberties.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.